Hallelujah. I know you guys pray. I'm just teasing you. So, prevailing prayer, we are doing part D, and we are learning from the prayers of the Bible as we talk about kingdom atmosphere. And we are saying prayer creates the atmosphere that you need. Prayer creates the atmosphere you need for your business, the atmosphere you need in your relationships, the atmosphere you need in your bedroom, okay? Have you ever realized that it's tough to fight after you have prayed together, husband and wife? Come on now. After you've really had an intense time of prayer in the presence of the Lord, if there's an issue that happens, you find it easy to deal with because your heart's already malleable. Now, in the previous 3 weeks, we looked at, number one, lessons from Abraham's prayer when he was praying for Sodom. All right? I'm not going to regurgitate. Number two, we did two teachings on the lessons from Moses' prayer as he was praying for the children of Israel. All right? And there was a powerful, powerful time of prayer. Last week, we spoke about intercession, the power of standing in the gap, the power of being a watchman as you look over the place that God have put under you to look after. Now, let's go to Exodus 33, verse 7. Exodus 33, verse 7. The Bible says, Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away. This camp used to be positioned in the center of the camp. This tent used to be in the middle, whereby the tribes, the 12 tribes, would branch out from their center, and the tent was in the middle. But after the people of God did what they did in Exodus 33, the Lord decided to just withdraw a little bit away from them for them to see the impact of what they had done. Now, the Bible says Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. He called it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Verse 8. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Now, this morning we are drilling into this issue and we are looking at lessons from Moses' tent meeting with God. Lessons from Moses' meeting with God. Now, this was one of the many times that Moses met with God. Now, as we start this morning, I want to draw your attention to two statements on these scriptures that we have read. Take note of these two statements. The one is the tent of meeting. And the second is whenever Moses went. Moses had a place that was called the tent of meeting. This tent of meeting was not for decoration. It was there for a reason and for a purpose. And now, whenever Moses went. Now, in your house, there's a place for everything. You have a pantry for food. You have built-in cupboards for your clothes, for your plates, and the like. People even build rooms for their cars called garages. So when you buy a house, they tell you there are two rooms for two cars. What's the point? Everything of great importance is allocated a space. Some of you even have studies in your homes. Some of you have cavemen in your homes. Some of you have studios, no-go areas where even your children have to knock to find access. Come on now. Some of you have got dressing rooms. His and hers. His and hers. Don't mix the clothes. Now, having said that, in all of these allocations in your home, is there a place that is allocated for prayer? Amen. Even the small knife has a place in the drawer. But does prayer have an allocation in your house? Come on now. The Lord has blessed you with a big house. 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom, 5-bedroom. But is there a place called a place of prayer in that house? Or a couch of prayer? Now, the first lesson we learn from Moses in this context is this. Prevailing prayer requires a dedicated space and time. Prevailing prayer requires a dedicated space and time. Now, I'm not trying to be very prescriptive here, but a few things jump out from the fact that Moses had a place called the tent of meeting. Brahmo, couldn't you do this in your own tent? Couldn't you do it in your own place? With Zipporah, your wife. Couldn't you do it there with your sons? Why did you have to create a place of meeting? This was a dedicated place to meet God. It was located away from the hustling and the bustling of the camp. Away from distractions. Moses said, if I am to go deeper with this God, I need to dedicate a place to meet with him. If I am to experience moments with him, intimate moments with him, I need a dedicated place to meet with him. Do you know that as husband and wife, there are certain things you cannot deal with in public? You got to do them in privacy. Because they are not meant for public consumption. The same thing applies to prayer. There are times where you need to do business with God outside of the eye of the public, where you are able to do business with God between you and God. Do you have that space? You see, you need to find a place without distractions in order to concentrate on your time with God. You see, not everyone is privileged to have dedicated space for prayer. But whatever your tent of meeting looks like, you need to make it a tent of meeting with the Lord. Whichever way it looks like, you've got to make it a tent of meeting with the Lord. You might be staying alone right now. Though you are staying alone, that place is not a tent of meeting with the Lord. Because there are so many distractions around you. You have not created that place where you can meet with God. Look at this, Matthew 6, verse 6. The Lord Jesus is talking about prayer. And he says, but when you pray. Can you see? He says, when you pray. The issue of prayer is not an if. There is an expectation for every child of God to engage in prayer at some point. But the question is, whenever you do it, what's the quality of that time? When you pray, go into your inner room. Go into your secret place. Shut your door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You see, the inner room, this tent of meeting, could be your bedroom, could be your sitting area, could be your car, could be your office. The issue is that prevailing prayer requires space. I want to just, you know, it sounds very simplistic, but it will do you a great deal if you choose to respect prayer to the degree that it deserves. When you say to yourself, I want my children to know that at a certain time I'm going to use my bedroom for prayer, and it's a no-go area. This issue of these little ones knocking and saying, Mama, I'm hungry. Mama, I'm hungry. Don't come to my room when I'm praying. They need to understand that. You are modeling something to your children that you value prayer. There is no amount of emergency that should take you out of prayer. No matter if you see that it's your pastor calling, don't pick that call. If somebody is dead, they are dead already. You cannot do anything about it. I'm sorry to say that. It has happened. Another 15, 20 minutes won't change it. I'm saying here, you've got to look at prayer as something that is so sacred. Something that changes the way your life will be like after you pray. Many people don't look at it that way. You see, prevailing prayer ought to be personal and private. When you do something in privacy, it means you are well invested in it. It means a great deal to you, such that you don't need public approval to do it. Just think about people who do things in privacy. It means a lot to them that it doesn't matter who is looking, it doesn't matter who is paying attention, they are invested in this matter and they will do it. That is how prayer should be like for you. You see, as long as you wait to pray in public setups, it means that you are not ready to engage in a meaningful time of prayer with the Lord. As long as you wait for a prayer meeting to pray, you are not ready to engage meaningfully with your Father. You see, what we do at Ignite, what we do here at 8:40 should be an overflow, not the main thing. What I do here in prayer times should be an overflow, not the only time that I pray. If that is the only prayer time that I have, I would have failed myself and I would have failed you. Personally, I have 2/10 of meetings. I've got a study at my house. I spend time, I pray there, whatever time I need, I pray there. That is my first 10th of meeting. My second 10th of meeting is my vehicle. It's my car. Any unfinished business from the study overflows into the car. I drive thousands of kilometers, and I've decided that I want to make use of that time talking to God. I can choose to listen to SAFM all the way through or Impact Radio all the way through. But I've realized that I'm wasting too much time. I spend 1.5 hours on the road. I don't know how much time you spend in your vehicle. Instead of getting worked out because of traffic, spend time in prayer. I want you to have a paradigm shift concerning your tent of meeting. You can have multiple of them. Some of you, your kitchen is your tent of meeting. It is your quiet time. It is your time that you spend with the Lord. Hallelujah. It does not have to be sophisticated. It's the amount of attention you give to it for you to call it a time of a meeting time. Jesus often withdrew from the crowds to go and spend time with God. Luke 5, verse 15. The Bible says, but the news about Jesus spread all the more, and great crowds came to him and to be healed of their sicknesses. So Jesus was a busy man. Don't tell me you're too busy. Yeah, I'm telling you, a lot of people are very busy. Extremely busy that there is no time. There is no time. Pastor, it's hectic. Jesus listens to you and says, I know. I used to be there. Crowds used to throng around me. They used to cry out for my attention. But the Bible says he frequently withdrew to the wilderness to what? To pray. Jesus could have said, man, it was a busy day of ministry. It's time to relax. My son, like, you need to relax. It's time to relax. No. But Jesus, after pouring himself out, after emptying himself out, he knew that the only way to do the same thing tomorrow is what he would do tonight. After emptying yourself with clients during the day, if you are to have a better day tomorrow, you better retreat in prayer at night. You better recharge. Hallelujah. You better find a way of recharging your battery. Otherwise, you run on empty. After a time of ministry, counseling people, you better recharge in prayer. Otherwise, you run out. Yet he frequently withdrew to the wilderness. The wilderness was his tent of meeting. The wilderness was his place of solace with the Lord. The wilderness was the place where he plugged into the power source. Prayer is that thing where you plug into the power source. Please don't make it a prayer an issue of you only pray for spiritual things, so to speak. If you are not serving under spiritual things, does it mean you don't pray? If you are working somewhere, you need to pray for that workplace. You've got to recharge. Mark 1, verse 35. Early in the morning. Come on now. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and slipped out to a solitary place. If you can give me that scripture, please. It's not there. Okay? Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and slipped out to a solitary place to what? To pray. Early in the morning, what do you do? Early in the morning, you've got to slip out into your tent of meeting and pray. When you meet God first thing in the morning, you are ready to meet the rest of the world. When you fail to meet God somewhere before you get in touch with man, your day might take on a different course. Early in the morning. Luke 6, verse 12. The Bible says, in those days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray. Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent, I like this, 2 minutes. Huh? 5 minutes for what we're about to receive. May the Lord make us truly thankful. Amen. For these and other blessings, may the Lord make us in. No, the Bible says here he spent all night in prayer. I grew up in a church where we used to do all-nighters. Not the half nights that we do or quarter nights that we do, where we meet at 7:30 and by 11 we are done, people are dozing already. No, these guys will make you pray from 9 all the way to 3 in the morning. Huh? I don't know if it's still happening today, but the Lord Jesus started this business where all night he would talk to the Father. And you'd find that after having prayed like this, he would walk down and he's able to see who should be part of his team. He chose his 12. After spending an all night in prayer, how can we do that? Unless you have a place called a tent of meeting. Unless you have a dedicated place of meeting. You see, Jesus did not have a home of his own, but he found a tent of meeting in the mountain under the cover of the night. I don't know if it's still happening, people going up to Klapperkop for prayer these days. It's like we are cosmopolitan. We are like, no, we don't do things like that. Do you think Jesus had I don't know what type of bed, what type of mattress you have in your house. Do you think he had a double bed up in the mountain? Do you think it was comfortable up in the mountain? Today, very few Christians are prepared to go up in the mountain. Yes, we can give reasons. There is crime. But in the absence of crime, are we prepared to go up the mountain to pray? Or for us, it is figuratively speaking. It cannot be literal. This was literal. You see, the truth of the matter is that you make room for what is of importance to you. You see, I have seen this being practiced in many other religions, in which a room is set aside. A room is put aside, and they call it the temple. And in that room, they put their small god like that in the corner. And every morning, they go to that god, and the family knows you don't enter into that room. And like, hey, these guys are just spooky. There is a revelation that they have that many Christians don't have. Our God is the true God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But there is a point in time where you need to create space to encounter God. Somebody needs to have this revelation. Look at this scripture again. But when you pray, Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your closet. Go into your inner room. I remember back in the days, how many years ago, my wife, I don't know, 2006, 2007, 15 years. You know, at that time we had a small flat. Okay? I would wake up at 4, all right? I would leave my bed and I'll go at the bottom of the bed and I would lie down there and I'll pray. Shame, sorry to my wife because she wanted to sleep more. She was, you know, I had to wake up early to go to work. But because I did not have any place to go to, I had to just leave my bed and go at the bottom of the bed and lie flat and pray. You don't tell me you can't find a place of meeting. Let's take it even further. When I was in boarding school, I used to go into toilets and I would pray there. Now the Lord has blessed you with your house. Surely you can't find a place of dedication. I'm not saying, you know, be religious about it. But what I'm saying here is that there is something that happens to us when you know I've got a place that I meet with God. That's all I'm saying. But when you pray, go into your inner room. Shut your door. Shut out Facebook. Shut out WhatsApp. I put my phone onto flight mode so that none of you can get hold of me. If you do that when you are sleeping, come on now. A lot of people switch off their phones when they're sleeping, but when they're praying, they want their phone on. Yeah. So your sleep is more important than talking to God. Well, that's what it says. Now look at this. Turn your entire house into a meeting place with God. You can create that home into a prayer zone. You can decide and say, this house, it's a holy habitation. I just feel the anointing of God right now. Where you choose that this house is a holy habitation. You see, me and my family, we've got this small thing, this small speaker called the bazooka. Little thing. It's in the kitchen. We play worship there. And sometimes you just feel the atmosphere is getting charged up with the presence of God. And the kids are getting caught up into it. And what are we doing? We are cultivating a culture. Sometimes you hear the mother speaking in tongues there. She's doing her dishes. What is she doing? It's a meeting place with God. You choose what place is a meeting place with God. Your office can be a meeting place with God. I know many people who get to their office earlier than everybody in order to touch heaven before everybody comes in. They charge up the place with the presence of God. And people wonder, why are things a bit different today? The Holy Ghost is present. Lisa was there in prayer and releasing the presence of God and saying, only the Spirit of Jesus is in control in this office in the name of Jesus. Turn your entire house into a meeting place with God. So Moses did not only carve out space to meet with God, he had a dedicated time to meet with him. Do you have a dedicated time to meet with the Lord? You see, in the same way that you diarize appointments and meetings, you need to block out time to talk to God. When you plan for something, that thing will get done. That is why we have a budget. You put line items on your budget. Then you know. Ladies, when you go shopping, you've got a shopping list. I find it very fascinating. Without a failure, 95% of ladies I see in shop, they've got a paper. Or a phone is open. But them boys, just walking around and they end up picking the wrong things. Get home, the wife says, no, this is not what I asked for. Or you forgot that. Like, okay, I'll take it back. List works. Huh? The list works. I don't like shopping because I always miss things. And somebody tries to get on me by sending me to buy things. Just leave us alone on a Father's Day like this. Just for a moment, just leave us alone. We don't like shopping. Come on now. You can give me that list, but I will walk around those aisles. I don't even know where to find that thing. It stresses me out. Well, Hiron is different. He loves shopping. So what's the point here? When you plan for prayer, you will find yourself praying. You will not miss it. So, you see, prevailing prayer takes discipline and consistency. You need to be disciplined. Whether it's winter or not, you've got to keep on it. My study is very cold. Extremely cold. So the church was very nice to me. 2 years ago, they bought a blanket. I don't know if you guys remember it, but I've got a gray blanket. Very comfortable. So I always cover myself. So even if it's cold, I'll go because there's a blanket and I pray. I want to say to you, don't make reasons, excuses not to pray. Look at this. The reason why you need to plan for prayer, it is because number one, planned prayer that are meant to create a sense of expectation within you. Wake up. When you know that I'm meeting the Lord at 4:30 in the morning, when time goes, you wake up and you go. You know, I don't snooze my alarm. 4:30, I'm up, I go. It creates an expectation in your heart. If your prayer time is 4 p.m. in the afternoon, faith in what starts happening in your spirit, man. You start getting ready. Times forces you to actually pray. Does somebody hear me this morning? If you've got a time to pray, it forces you to. Number three, planned prayer times requires you to plan for them. In that, for instance, long periods of fasting. If you are hitting a 7-day, a 21-day, a week before, you start preparing yourself. You start writing down what you're going to be praying for every single day. So if you're doing 5 days of prayer and fasting, you plan on Monday, this is what I'm praying for. I find it working. Because I don't go into my prayer times, I'm like, What am I praying for? No. Those tongues, really, what are they serving? Are they not mechanical tongues because you don't know what to pray for? No. Plan your prayers. So I know on a Monday, it's a day of thanksgiving, and I'm praying for this and this and this. And then I then say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray as I pray for this. Holy Spirit, help me to pray as I pray for this. So it makes your prayers more effective. Hello, somebody? So you've got to plan for them. Plan for your prayers. That is why we've got that calendar that we're trying to teach you. Then you know on a Wednesday I'm praying for friends. Praying for this guy who's in Cape Town. He is going through this thing. And the Holy Spirit takes over and your prayer life goes to another dimension. Lastly, planned prayer times creates a platform to pray for longer times. So, you've got a stopwatch. Until that clock goes off, you don't stop praying. That's the only way to develop your prayer life. You put in 30 minutes, and then until that 30 minutes has expired, you continue praying. Before you know it, you've grown in your prayer life. Glory be to God. There's got to be a mechanism to get us to pray and to pray longer. Jesus found it necessary to spend the whole night in prayer. Don't tell me that these 2 minutes prayers work. Do you know that 2 minutes prayers work if they're backed with a longer time of prayer? So when I come here and I say, you are sick, come, let me pray for you. Lay hands on you and we pray for that moment and you get healed. It's a result of all the prayers that would have been doing in the background. So when you honor your time of prayer, God will honor you with his presence. You've got to honor your times of prayer. Go with me to Exodus 33 verse 9. And the Bible says, and it happened as Moses went into the tabernacle. The cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And Jehovah spoke with Moses. Take note. The cloud represented the presence of God. Though God is omnipresent, his active presence was only visible when Moses entered the tent of meeting. It came down at that point to minister to Moses. I want you to know that when you go into that tent, into that place of meeting, the presence of God is activated. God is omnipresent, but most of the time his presence is passive. How do we activate his presence to become active? It's when we pray. Many people will say, wasn't God there? Why did God allow this accident to happen? Wasn't God? But God is everywhere. Yes, God is everywhere. But did you invite him through prayer? Prayer activates the presence of God. Somebody needs to get that this morning. The second lesson that we learn is this. Prevailing prayer emanates from the simplicity of a conversation. Prevailing prayer emanates from the simplicity of a conversation. I don't know how you were taught about prayer, but one of the reasons why people dread prayer, it is because prayer has been made to feel and to sound complicated. That is why people don't like praying. It's because prayer has been made to feel and to sound complicated. Now, don't misunderstand me. Prayer is warfare, but Moses did their business in the tent. Exodus 33, verse 11. And Jehovah would speak to Moses face to face. And Jehovah would speak to Moses face to face. As a man speaks to his friend. Just pause there, Selah. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man would speak to his friend. Old covenant. What should we expect in the new covenant? Should we expect a more level, a more deeper intimacy moment with the Lord? Does the Lord want me to shout and to scream until, you know, I lose my voice? Now the question is this: what words come to mind to describe a conversation between two buddies? One would say they speak freely. They speak familiarly. Friends speak plainly. They don't use the King James, the old King James English, when I speak to Tibos. They speak openly. They are cordial with one another, without any reserve or show of authority. This is how God spoke to Moses. There was a high level of authenticity in the conversation. There was a high level of openness, a high level of candidness. Now, put this down. Prayer is a safe place to be vulnerable and candid with Father God. Sometimes you are in the presence of God, your heart is so broken that you've got no words, but you are in His presence. Sometimes your heart is grieving, and all you can do is to cry before Him. The point is this: you have moved from an ordinary setup to the tent of the meeting, and you are in the presence of God. You are not able to utter words. You are like a Hannah, just moving her lips. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah was just moving her lips. But deep down in her spirit, man, she was saying, only if you can bless me with a son. I am tired of being ridiculed. I am tired of being the bad girl in the house. And God heard her prayers. I'm talking about being vulnerable with Father God, being candid with Him, and say, Lord, this thing is not working. Something has to happen. Go ask Brother David. There were times that David would literally ask God questions. That if I die, will there be praise that comes out of that grave? Was there something wrong with David? No. He was talking to his dad. Am I able to do that? Ooh. I say, Father, I'm tired. I'm like, done. I'm much, bayamuch. That's a tongue, right? Tongues of men. Hallelujah. You see, friends have heart-to-heart conversations. Friends share secrets. What that means is that there are things that should only be between you and God. There are certain covenants that I should make, just me and God. We strike a deal in our prayer times. I don't know what deals people have struck with God. And that is why you see certain miracles happening in people's lives. You see major breakthroughs in people's lives. We don't know their secrets. We don't know what they're talking to God, how they're talking to God. Do you know what was the secret with Hannah? She said, Father, if you give me this boy, I'll give him back to you. That was a breakthrough moment. She made a deal with the Lord and said, give me that boy and you'll have him back. Samuel came. And after 8 days, she came with Samuel. High priest, you remember me? I'm the one who prayed. Here is the boy. And after that, God gave her many other children. So what am I saying today? You've got to have these intimate conversations with the Father that would trigger certain breakthroughs in your life. The last point. Prevailing prayers address matters of great significance. I want to say that. Significant things in your life. Sometimes we waste prayers. We waste time. Moses was not in the business of being wasteful. What do they say in government? Wasteful and what? Wasteful and fruitless. Aha. Fruitless and waste. Where? And wasteful expenditure. Thank you. That's what happens in our prayer times. Fruitless. Wasteful. No. When you are standing before a rich guy, Dakota, I don't know, this guy from Nigeria who's the richest guy in Africa. When you are before him and you're having a meal, do you tell him, I need a broom for my kitchen? Aye, something is wrong with you. You are asking for a broom. You are asking for a feather duster. Like, really? Do you know who you are talking to? Aye, guys. Moses made prayers of great significance. These were prayers that if answered, his life was never going to be the same. When you enter into the time of prayer, it must be in such a way that if they're answered, when they're answered, people will see that God moved in that life. Does somebody hear me this morning? Put this down. The focus of your prayers will determine the depth of God you'll be able to access. Hallelujah. Tag, hashtag. The focus of your prayers will determine the depth of God that you'll be able to access. Some people are accessing just the surface of God because of their prayers. Some people are digging gold and diamonds in the heart of God. Recently, I heard that in Botswana, they extracted the third biggest diamond. That is what happens when you go into prayer with significant requests. Your prayers must go beyond gaining more of this thing of the world. The greatest riches are those found in God. Your prayers must be relevant to the prevailing circumstances in your life. Is there sickness in your body? Don't waste time. Don't beat around the bush. Hit the point. By your stripes, I am healed. And that is my portion. Now, what did Moses pray for when he had access to God? What did Moses pray for? Let's look at this briefly as we finish this morning. And my mic is giving up on me. Number one, Moses said, I want to know you and your ways. That I might know you and your ways. Exodus 33 verse 13. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found grace in your sight, make me see now your ways, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight. When you pray, what do you pray for? Moses wanted to know God. Show me your ways. Teach me your ways. Have you ever prayed like that? Have you ever asked the Lord to show you his ways? That prayer was answered in Psalm, the Bible says, to Moses, the Lord showed his ways, but to his children, he showed them his deeds. And that was the difference between the life of Moses and the life of the children of Israel. That I might know you. Number two, Moses says, I want your presence. He wanted God's presence more than God's promise. Ooh. The promise, yes, it is there, but the promise without the presence does not fulfill your life. Exodus 33, verse 15. And he said to him, if your presence does not go with me, do not take us from here. I don't want the promise without his presence. Because if I have his presence, I can reproduce the promise. Without the presence of God, you will not be able to reproduce the promise. Because the promise giver is not there. When you have the promise giver, you have the promise. Have you ever asked, I want your presence? If your presence is not in this business deal, I don't want it. no matter how lucrative it is, no matter how great it looks like, Lord, if your blessing is not on it, I don't want it. This guy is asking me out. But Lord, is this what you want for me? I know this guy doesn't go to church. I won't be able to submit to a man who doesn't worship the true God. And lastly, he says, show me your glory. We sing that song, but have you ever prayed that song? It mustn't just end by singing. You've got to pray it until the glory is revealed in your life. He says, I beseech you, I plead with you, I beg you, show me your glory. Oh, man, those are different types of prayers. There's nothing wrong with, Father, I need meat in my fridge. That's okay, but don't stop there. You need meat with his presence. Amen. Father, I need money to pay my rent. Yebo, pray for that, but you need his presence in that house. Show me your glory. Have you ever fasted just for his glory to be revealed in your life? I mean, have you ever missed a meal saying, Father, teach me your ways? Most of the time, we miss meals because we want a breakthrough in the natural. This is so important, saints. And when he had finished, the Father said, my goodness shall go before you. In other words, he was saying, that's my glory. Because he did not say, my glory will go before. He says, my goodness, I will cause my goodness to go before you. Oh, Lord, help us to have a paradigm shift. I'm desperate for him. I'm desperate for him. Come on now, let's stand on our feet. Ah, Jesus, I'm lost without you.